Welcome to What a Time. I'm Maggie, helping you get across campus and beyond one pep talk at a time. Hello, everyone. We have such an exciting episode because herbalist Shannon Mulligan Marinick is here to chat all about herbs and plant medicine, but especially focused on common things I see in my private practice and how to help with plants. Shannon owns Marinick Kitchen, which is this gorgeous modern day herbal apothecary in northern New Jersey. She also has a really beautiful Instagram page, which totally reflects how beautiful the store is. Her handle is linked in the show notes if you want to check that out. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I went into the store and I was looking specifically for grounding items because I had just moved. And Shannon was there and she answered all of my questions. And I was like, oh my goodness, I need to have her on the podcast because so many of my students are moving back to college, regardless of if it's freshman year or any other year. And also, you know, starting different grades of high school can be stressful and you need grounding as well. So I was like, we're sort of all going through the same thing. And I asked Shannon, will you come chat with me about it? Because you know so much more than I do. I'm just a fan of herbalism. I'm definitely not an expert. And she is so nice and she agreed. So again, Shannon is an herbalist and plant medicine maker and owner of the Marinick Kitchen, a modern day herbal apothecary in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. She's been studying herbalism for over 13 years and she really loves to teach and they have tons of classes and community get-togethers. So definitely check that out as well. She and her husband, Matt, have an herb farm in Sussex County, New Jersey, where they grow 50 plus medicinal herbs that they create their own products with. So they're really a true seed to product company, which we love. In this episode, we chat about what drew us both to herbalism, her as a profession and me as a fan. We talk about what different herbs and plants can support sleep, anxiety, mood, when you need to be grounded, all that kind of good stuff. And my favorite part was chatting around how to figure out what to actually work with, because sometimes there are a lot of options and you have to figure out what works best for you. So I really enjoyed that because that's a big mentor philosophy as well. I also wanted to make note that I also updated the mentor membership with some of the info that Shannon shared with me in her store, as well as from this episode. The mentor membership houses all my tips, tricks, and resources in one place so that college students can have access to support whenever they need it. And I know as parents, we love knowing that if they're going through something, we can point them in the direction of a resource. And that's exactly why I created the mentor membership. So this will live in the July section of the membership where I have a mind, body, soul packing list for college students because we all know the right dorm stuff to get, but what do we need to support mental wellness? So I got you covered there. And then it'll be sprinkled on throughout the different themes and topics. I want to add that I update the membership all the time, especially as I get new ideas or the students say that they want to see something. I'm always listening. So it's like a real living, breathing membership. To get access, it's listed in the show notes, but you can also go to my website, maggiedepasquale.com, and click online memberships. It's right there for you, and we'd love to see you there. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Just as a reminder, the following content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. So how I kind of found herbalism or plant medicine is when I had always taken Claritin, Zyrtec, whatever it was for allergies, but I noticed that the older I got, the more jittery and anxious it made me. Like I had anxiety the days I took it, and I never took it regularly, like for huge chunks of time anyway. It was like as needed in the spring. I had like just regular seasonal spring allergies. I don't know how either, I'm sure it was my mom that found it because she tends to be that person in our family, but I took nettle in just like a supplement form. It was no different really than Claritin, and it got rid of my symptoms without adding anything else onto it. And I was like, wait, there is something about this that I want to look at for other things that go on. So whether it was stress, anxiety, feeling moody or whatever, I was like, I wonder if there are resources that are from Earth. I believe that everything has energy and being able to take that in. And I would love to hear how you found herbalism, found yourself at your beautiful shop, how you got to where you are.
Yeah. So it's actually a pretty interesting story. So I was working as a publisher right out of college. I worked for a publishing company and I had been there for 12 years. So somewhere along there, a friend of mine was like, do you want to go to this class tonight? So I was like, yeah, why not? You know, hang out with a coworker, go out, have dinner, go to a class. So I was like, okay, no clue what it was about. She said, oh, it's like some, you know, it's at a little herb shop in New York State. So it was just right over, we're in Jersey, Northern Jersey, right over the border into New York State. So I went to this class and that was literally the night that has led me to everything I've done. There I met my mentor and friend, Robin Rose Bennett, who I've studied many years under, and just fell in love with this idea of using, like you said, the plants from the earth and the energy into medicine. So that night we made Robin taught us how to make a little medicine. We all went home with a jar and I kind of put it in my cabinet, shoved it into the back of, you know, the cabinet, forgot about it. A couple weeks later, Matt and I, my husband, were taking a trip to Napa and I had like such a scratchy throat. I was coughing. It was just like, I can't get on a plane like this. I feel terrible. So I was like, wait a minute. What we made at that class was something to help with respiratory. So I go and I take it out of the cabinet. I'm like, okay, I guess I just take a spoonful of this, you know? So I go and I take a spoonful, not thinking to strain any of the herbs out of it.
Oh no.
So I go and I take a spoonful and in it is like a hawthorn berry. So if anyone knows what a hawthorn berry, it's a tiny little berry. It's super hard and you use it in teas or tinctures, but you never just eat a hawthorn berry. It literally hard as a rock. So I go to take this tablespoon of stuff and I'm like, oh my, I can't swallow this. And then I was like, oh, I'm supposed to strain it and then just take the, you know, the liquid. So that was my first intro to plant medicine. But then from then on out, I absolutely just fell in love with it and started, like I said, I did a 3-year apprenticeship with Robin and just really dove deep, which then led us to 2015, opening Marinette Kitchen. It was just strictly online for quite a few years. And then in December 2020 is when we opened the shop that, you know, you came to visit. And that's where we've been since.
If anyone is in the North Jersey area, I highly recommend checking it out. It feels like a little oasis. You were telling me that like girls from the other shops come in during their breaks and like take a minute, yeah, take a breath in, yeah, it. What do you think clicked for you or drew you into the plant medicine? Because I almost feel like it's answering a call. If that sounds like, okay, you're shaking your head. That doesn't feel unfamiliar to you.
Yes.
You know, you were just like, okay, I'll go to a class. And then you're like, oh wait, I'm going to stick here for a while.
Yeah. I'm going to do this probably for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I don't know what stuck. So I didn't grow up knowing any of this, taking any type of herbal medicine. I was the same. My mom would give me NyQuil or Benadryl or Vicks, you know, all those things you would just buy at the pharmacy. And I never grew up with it. My husband grew up gardening. So he was always very connected, whether it was herbs or vegetables. So when we first got together, he had always said, we need a place where we could garden. So that kind of got me into it. My first job was in a greenhouse. So I've always been connected to plants. I was 15. I got a job in a greenhouse at a local nursery. And just always said, I would love to go back to that type of work. But it, you know, college came in when I was working in publishing for 12 years. It just never really crossed my mind. But I think the more I studied and the more I realized that a lot of this stuff just grows in our backyard that we could use. I mean, it was a no-brainer, you know, like to start using it, incorporating it into my everyday life and just really diving deep into learning how you know, this was the only way many years ago. This was what our ancestors did. They didn't go to CVS and, you know, grab Tylenol or whatever. It was, they went outside and foraged what they could to make something that could help, you know, any ailment you may have.
Do you feel like, I sense that, I felt like nettle grew in the spring when I needed it, or almost that like the medicines appeared at the same seasons in which my ailments did as well. What do you feel about that?
Yes, I think the plants definitely will show themselves to you when you need them. So nettles is a very early spring herb. You could sometimes even find it like under snow. So I always go towards nettle for like those spring allergies. And then there's a plant in the fall called goldenrod, which is just starting to show itself now. So she's a very like late bloomer. So she comes out late summer into fall. And a lot of people use that as like their fall allergy medicine because different trees and plants are blooming at different times. So people react differently. So I definitely feel that, you know, the plants show themselves. And just a quick story Matt told me last night, he's been looking for mullein. So mullein's a plant that grows wild. It's something we would never plant just because we could easily forage it. But this year with the lack of rain and we're having a hard time finding it where we feel comfortable foraging it. Mm-hmm. So he was up on the farm this weekend and he's like, you know, what's crazy? He's like, there are four pretty good sized mullein plants growing that I haven't seen all summer. He's like, and I felt like because I was saying, I need to find it. And then he was in our garden yesterday and he's like, we have a trellis of hops. And he's like, behind the hops, there was a mullein plant. He's like, so I feel like I put it out there and now she's showing herself to me saying, you know, come use my medicine kind of thing. So yeah, I definitely feel you'll find the plants when, you know, you need them.
It's like, no, I heard you. I'm here. Like,
yep, hello.
Not you over here.
Yeah.
I have to ask too. So you work with your husband. How did you guys meet?
So we actually met at a steakhouse we were both working at in college. So,
wow.
Yeah. We met in 2001. I had started there as a senior in high school, but we didn't start dating until 2004. But we had met, you know, years before because we worked together and then started dating in 2004.
So you had commonalities before taking on all of this.
Yes.
The kitchen did. And everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I had the very much so interest. I worked in a greenhouse, but it was strictly houseplants. The one greenhouse I worked in, he always gardened outside, you know, plants, vegetables and herbs and things like that. So it was always a kind of common interest. And then he had kind of like dabbled in some plant medicine in college, like just playing around with things. And then, you know, we both kind of really got serious when we were gardening in our own backyard and just realizing how many herbs we had that were medicinal.
I feel like he heard the call too. Maybe you guys are getting called by the same.
It's a possibility.
So the plant medicine really felt connected to me or felt like something worth exploring because I had such a great experience with the nettle that I had symptoms, then I didn't, and I didn't get jittery or anxious. I was sold on it right away. Do you have any stories like that as well of like, when did you really be like, huh, there's really something in this, or, you know, you had someone come to the store and be like, you know, I was getting migraines all the time and this really helped. Cause I think those stories help hit it home a little bit. And I think everyone has to have their own experience with it and feel called, which I know we'll talk about a little bit later to how to figure out like what's pulling you in.
Well, yeah, totally. I mean, we get people coming in all the time that say, you know, I picked this up, I picked that up. I was skeptical. I didn't, first time I'm using it and it worked, you know? So right there, that makes us feel like, okay, what we're doing is good stuff. You know, we're putting it out into the world for others to receive. And they're then, you know, using it and feeling confident and saying, you know, this worked. So we had a woman who she still comes in to this day. She needed a hip replacement. And she would come in and buy her, we make a Pain Be Gone salve. And she would say, she would literally just slather it all over her like hip area. And she's like, it helped ease the pain so much. And it's literally just a few herbs that we use in an infused oil. And, you know, we've heard others say it too, like about their arthritic hands, that they use it on their hands and it works wonders. So, I mean, I could probably tell 100 stories of people saying, you know, this really worked for me. But on the other side, sometimes plants don't work, or it might not be the right plant for you. So I don't want, you know, everyone to think, okay, well, whatever they're making is going to work for me. You know, we have folks come in and say, you know, I tried this. I didn't see much of a difference. I'm going to try this now. So we always say, you know, if you're torn between picking a plant, so you were saying you're, you know, being called to a plant, some people look at you like, they don't talk to me. Like, you know, how am I supposed to know this? So we try to say, okay, so if you're kind of torn between two, try one for 2 to 3 weeks, take a week off, try the other 2 to 3 weeks, because then you're going to have an idea of, okay, you know what, those first 3 weeks, I felt better, or I didn't really feel much of a change. Let me try this. So everyone is so different that it's really hard to say, like, this is going to work for you, this one won't work for you. So it's a lot of, you know, you need to know your body too, to say, I feel this is working, I feel this isn't working, and be okay with either answer, you know, and not just throw away the whole idea of plant medicine if one doesn't work for you. There is a plant though that I absolutely adore and love and grows all over probably the northern part of the United States, is the white pine tree. So it's just a tree that probably grows in half of your old backyard, you know. White pines are everywhere. And I just find it to be such a very grounding and protective tree that whenever I feel, you know, okay, I need to just stop what I'm doing, take a big deep breath, I'll take a little tincture of it, I'll make a tea. It's green all year round. So it's a wonderful plant to trudge out in the snow and get, because it's the only fresh thing out there. And I just feel like it's warming, it's grounding, it's has a ton of vitamin C in it. So it, you know, it'll help your immunity. So it's all different things. But when I like literally sit with a cup of that tea, I just feel like, you know, so white pine is definitely one of my plant allies that I will turn to all the time.
Shannon, that's what I went into the store and I was at the end of my shop with you and I just was like, I'm getting this. And I had no idea about it. You said it was like a hug.
Yes,
like
in a bottle.
Yeah. And I was like, yes, please, with love. And I've been taking it in tincture form. Also, so I do a grounding meditation with my students sometimes, and it's also available on, I think I have it live on my podcast. So you can, if you're listening to this and you want to grab it, it's there for you. Just search grounding meditation. And I have the students go to a place for them that feels totally calm. And mine is a forest in the snow with those trees and like fairy lights. And I'm not cold because it's my meditation and I can do what I want. And like warmth and like fire, but winter and cold. And like, I'm a summer sunny girl. So I don't know why my safe space is like a nice cold cave, but I was like, I felt that white pine call in that feeling for me of that. Like there was something, like I knew I was getting it. I had no idea what it was for. We were talking about headaches. Like I went totally left in the conversation, like, but I really felt called to that. And I think you kind of spoke about that as well in finding medicines that work for you. You have to find like where your energy is sort of resonating at, and then find the right medicine that resonates in that same way so that it does have an effect. And that doesn't mean that, like, it reminds me of flower essence, where you have to sort of really know what you're looking for the essence to be helpful. Can you speak to that a little bit? And then also really fast, sorry, I'm just getting so many good ideas as you're speaking, but I think maybe we should define plant medicine. Cause as we're talking, I'm thinking maybe no one has, you know, ever really heard of it. They're like on TikTok and see like someone, you know, doing sage and that's their idea of it. And, you know, we know apothecary now from Schitt's Creek where you think it's like a rose soap or something.
Right. Yes.
So maybe what is plant medicine first, and then you can talk about flower essence.
Sure. So plant medicine is pretty much what it sounds like. You're using plants to create a product, or a most likely a product that you'll either take internally or externally, and it's used to aid different ailments. So anywhere from, I mean, you could go from immunity to sleep to depression to anxiety and digestion, you know. So a large way of thinking about it is the plants are here to provide for us, and you can turn that into medicine, whether it be tincture, salve, hydrosol, flower essence, elixirs, oxymels, you know. So there's a wide range of ways to prepare them.
Can you really quick just go over what those are really fast? So like a tincture comes in like a little bottle, and it has like a little, they can't dropper. See me. Yeah. Dropper.
yeah. So a tincture is we use either fresh or dried plant material, and you use a menstruum. So whether that's alcohol, vinegar, or vegetable glycerin. So those would be like the three that you could use. And those menstruums or liquids would extract the plant material, the constituents out of the plant. A salve would be something you'd use externally. So oil based that, you know, you would use on your skin or anything like that. What else? Hydrosol is a distilled plant material. So if you think about essential oils, it goes through a distillation process. So you take fresh plant material, put it into a big still, heat it up so it's steaming. And then what comes out of that is either the steam, which is the hydrosol, or the volatile oils, which is the essential oil. So we just work with hydrosols because we don't grow enough plant material to create essential oils. And then we have, you know, syrup. So our biggest seller is an elderberry syrup, great for immunity. It's literally, we cook it 8 to 10 hours on the stove. I love that. A lot of people do. I think the honey is what helps make it taste good, because elderberries sometimes aren't the best tasting, but it's very warming. It has cinnamon, cloves, fresh ginger, local honey. So a syrup is just, you know, we're cooking down the plant medicine for quite a few hours and then straining off all the plant material and adding honey to sweeten it a little. And it's a thicker, like a syrup. So there's just a wide range of preparations you could use to make plant medicine, which is nice because you could kind of come into it at anywhere where you're comfortable in starting your plant medicine journey.
And that's a really big thing to take away. If you're like listening to this and you're like, wait, how can I incorporate this into my life? Like, there are several different ways you can do what works for you. Like, yep. Yeah. I'm a tincture girl. Like, I can handle that. Like, that works easy in my life. I see it out on my, you know, display. If I'm feeling something, I can go there. So can we talk a little bit about flower essence? Because those are super interesting. And I have experiences with those as well.
Yeah. So flower essences are another type of plant medicine where we're using just the bloom of the flower. So we'll harvest the flower when it's in full bloom. What we make here is things we grow or flowers we forage. So all local to us in Jersey, literally. And sometimes it's good. People look at you like, really, this is what you do? Like, this sounds a little witchy or woo-woo or whatever, but I'm
we
like,
love the witchy works. And woo-woo yeah. here.
So you take just literally the flowers and put into some spring water, let the sun infuse the flowers in the water, and the energy from the flower then is transferred into the water. So now you have almost like flower water. You need to preserve that some way because it will go bad if it's just, you know, stagnant water pretty much. So we strain off the flowers, keep the water, and then we add a little brandy to it to preserve it, which is a great preservative. And you use flower essences in a very, very low dose. So it's almost like a homeopathic type medicine where you're using 4 to 7 drops per dose compared to a tincture when sometimes you're using, you know, 2-3 dropperfuls, which there's about 30 drops in each dropper. So it's a very, very low dose, and flower essences work on an energy and spiritual level. They're not necessarily made to help aid anything. So if you have a headache or digestive issues, I would probably turn you more towards a tincture rather than a flower essence. But flower essences are used to, you know, help if you've got to move negative energy out, or if you have a confrontation with someone and you're trying to work through that, or, you know, you just can't get out of your own head and you're like, I just need to get this out and, you know, move on. So it's definitely on a different level than tinctures. But they kind of like flower essence get into like the nitty gritty little areas that other medicines may not. And you could really take them all day, every day. And there's no real counteractions with medicines or anything like that, because it's really just the water from the flower and then a little brandy.
Do you have any stories around those really working? Like, I have one for, I don't love to fly. So I had a flower essence for helping navigate that kind of anxiety.
Yep.
So I start to take it a few days before my flight. I for sure took it when I was getting on it. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit after to sort of ground back into being on land.
So one of my favorite ones is our day lily one we make, which is it's for deep calm. So I like to use it actually at night, like before bed. So I love mugwort tincture before bed, which helps me sleep. And I also take day lily flower essences, which then also I think just really puts my mind to ease. I could easily fall asleep. So that's one of my favorites. And I believe it's yarrow is one to help you create boundaries. So
yes, I asked about that.
Yeah. So that one, it's great too. We all have to set boundaries or we just get walked all over. So, you know, setting boundaries, whether it's in school, in life, in relationships, you know, boundaries need to be set. So I feel that's another one that's, you know, added to your plant medicine cabinet.
So because we're kind of already talking about that stuff, can I give you some of the things that walk through my private practice? And maybe you could suggest different plant medicine for that. So sleep is something that I find, like, I haven't been sleeping well lately, or I've been having wild dreams the last since last week.
Have you been taking mugwort?
I've been taking nothing. I was like, I need to maybe take something so I can like sleep through the whole night, because I keep having to wake myself up because they're freaky.
Wow. And mugwort will do, like, mugwort induces lucid dreaming. Mm. So, and that's why I like to take it, because I love to dream. So mugwort is like my go-to sleep, because I like that, like, especially for like dream work and stuff like that. I find it to be a great herb to use. But just for sleep in general, I would say two of our most popular ones are either valerian root or passion flower. So they're both more of on the, and when I say sedative, I don't mean it's going to knock you out cold and that's the end of you for the night. But it's more of a sedative than a nervine, which would be for like your stress and anxiety, which you could take all day. But I would say the passion flower and valerian root would be great for like 20 minutes before bed, take a dropper full in your water or tea. And, you know, but helps a lot of people, you know, have a full night's sleep.
I have a lot of students going to college in 2 weeks for the first time. So there's definitely the stress before you go. I always feel like your essence, your spirit starts to leave before you do in different ways. It's working it out on like the psychic level sometimes before we go on the physical. So if your dreams are kicking up before you go to school and stuff like that, that is very normal.
Totally. And I agree 100%. Starting it like now, or, you know, in the next week or two, some kids may not be going back until September, you know, just to get yourself into that, you know, routine. I think about when I was younger and, you know, a week or so before school started, my mom would be like, okay, you have to start going to bed earlier. So you get into, you know, that routine where, you know, like you think about it like, okay, so every night you're going to go to bed a little earlier because, you know, in 2 weeks, you're going to be getting up at 6 or 7 and not 10 in the morning. So it's kind of like prepping your body for that change that you know is going to happen, instead of just throwing yourself into it, which could just cause even more stress. So it's just really, and I love that you brought that up, like, you know, starting it now and seeing how your body feels with it. So it's also not something new when you may not be home or you're in an unfamiliar place, and seeing how your body feels with, you know, the different types of, you know, plant medicine that you could be using to help you, you know, kind of ease into it.
Yeah. It also reminds me that, like, you kind of have to work it before you need it a little bit, like a muscle. So I think about that at meditation or any of sort of my anxiety practices, that of course, when you're in anxiety, I want you to be able to pull from tools that you have, but they will work better for you if you'd been doing them prior to, you know, the big test or doing something new. So an example of that is I have a 10-minute purge emotional, it's actually 12, emotional writing technique where all you do is you grab a paper and a pen. You stream of conscious, just write everything that's running through your head. Even if you're like, I hate this exercise, which is typically how I start it. Cause I'm like, I never want to do it. You finish it. You're supposed to burn it, which I do when I'm in the suburbs. I'm at my parents, but when I'm in the apartment, I do not burn it there. It is a fire hazard plus inappropriate to go burn on our courtyard, but like rip it up, throw it out and release it. And of course that helps when I'm having really bad anxiety, but it helps if I'm doing it the week before I have.
Oh yeah, totally. And that releasing, I think, you know, and that's something we do a lot in herbalism too, whether it's writing or, you know, making something and then giving it back to the earth, you know, herbs that we use in tinctures or whatever we may be making. We have these spent herbs that now we're just using the liquid part of it. We're giving it back. We're releasing it back. So I think that's, you know, could be used in any facet of life, really.
So I'm going to give you another thing that comes through my doors and see your advice on it.
Okay.
Anxiety, like I was just talking about. I feel like going to college and high school is harder now than it was 5 years ago, than it was 10 years ago, than it for sure was, you know, even beyond that. What would you recommend? And I do feel like there are different kinds of anxiety, not that I have names for it or whatever. So this might be a situation where you try some different plant medicines and see how they resonate within you. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So, I mean, anxiety, we all face it, you know, but
totally.
I agree 100% going into a school year where whether you're a freshman or, you know, you're going to be a senior, it's stressful. So I, some of my favorite tinctures I would use for stress is probably lemon balm and holy basil. And they're two that taste pretty good. I mean, on, you know, I've been taking them for a while. So some people might take them and be like, oh, this is terrible, but it's something that you could put into like your water bottle and kind of sip on through the day. So you're not just taking it, you know, your juice in the morning. Yeah. So sometimes I do it often. I'll put it, you know, even in your water, I have like a water glass. I put it in my water glass and just sip on it through the day. So you're getting a little bit at a time. If you don't want to take a tincture, which some people might not, because if they're not ingesting alcohol or they don't want to, you know, ingest, we have, a hydrosol that you could use. You could spray it directly on your skin. It's holy basil, which is also my favorite tincture for anxiety. It's just grounding, it's comforting, it's hydrating. So, you know, you go through a stressful period, you forget to drink water, you're not eating correctly sometimes, right? So other things start happening. Okay, my skin feels dry, or, you know, I just feel really lethargic. So, you know, spritzing your face with something really cooling and hydrating could kind of pick you up for, you know, a bit and be like, okay, I could do this. I'm ready to go. We have a lavender, and we call it our sleepy time salve. It's like a lavender salve that you could use on your hands. You could put it on your temples before bed. You could put it on your temples or your wrist before studying, just to help calm your mind, calm your, you know, stream of thoughts that might be running rampant in your head. So there really is, you know, I think something for everybody. Just knowing what you want to kind of dive into would be the most important, because I sometimes could recommend a tea to you. And you say, well, I don't really have the time. I don't want to sit and wait for the tea to be made. So maybe a tincture would be better for you, because you literally could just take it and you're done. So it's really what works best for you and what you have available to you, rather than making it an even bigger situation.
I think where plant medicine aligns so beautifully with the work I try to put out in the world is that a lot of it comes from listening to yourself, figuring out what you need, just going in and being able to be open. I'm like, white pine. I'm like, I'm taking that. I have no idea why. I was asking about a headache and now I'm getting an internal hug, you know? And maybe my headaches are coming from not loving myself and being tense or something. I don't know, but I'm open to it coming from all different, all different places. When I went into your kitchen, your beautiful shop, that you were very good at listening to sort of what I felt like I was coming in with or looking for. So, and that's sort of a string I hear you keep using a little bit, that you have to listen to yourself to be able to find what is going to work for you. And isn't that the key to like any kind of life and also growing up, right? Like a lot of that is that time is discovering what does work for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of us, you know, we've all gone through different phases of life and, you know, different situations, and we've handled everything differently, yet we're all kind of going through the same, you know, struggles. And So I think really listening to yourself, knowing what you need, when you need it, how to speak up for what you need and not, you know, hold it in, is so important, because it's just going to make you so much more, I think it's going to allow you to receive so much better.
Totally. And in the receiving of it, you'll, I think, be better able to get the benefits.
Yes. Yep. You won't have that block.
Yes. One more ailment I see is mood, whether it's depression and feeling low or just feeling, I'm sure these are going to come up with two different things, but like mood from like hormones or feeling like moody around your period or whatever, like stuff like that.
Yeah. So one of my absolute favorite herbs for when I like have my cycle or when I'm just feeling so like PMS-y and bleh, is motherwort. So motherwort it's in the mint family, doesn't taste anything like a mint. It's super bitter, but is kind of known for this overall women's herb. So helps even with, like, I also use it for anxiety. So on those really stressful days, I sometimes turn to that. And I think when we are in those like moody shifts, which happen, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, which kind of the anxiety gets higher, because now you're like, oh, I'm being snotty to this one. This one's mad at me. You know, I'm not doing this right. So it's kind of tying into, okay, well, let's lower the stress. And then, you know, hopefully that'll help ease symptoms that come along with that. As for like lightening your mood on like any other day, I would say anything with lemon is so uplifting. So, you know, lemon balm is one of my favorites. Lemon verbenum. We have a tea of lemon verbenum. We have a tea of a whole lemon mix. Anything like, you think lemon, you think yellow, bright, cheery, you know, fresh. So those words kind of also go along with our mood. So, you know, you think about different things. Roses, super uplifting. We have a rose geranium hydrosol that you could spray on your face and it literally smells like you're standing in a garden. Very uplifting. So a lot of times when you have emotional or mood, smell is such a huge part of lifting. You know, that's why I think essential oils could be very beneficial for mood lifting. You know, your olfactory, your smell, you know, it triggers something. Even if you smell something good, like cooking, you're like, oh, that smells great. You know, it could put you in another place. I would say lemon balm, lemon verbenum, any kind of mint, something cooling, and mint I just feel is uplifting. It reminds me of summertime kind of. So it's just these different correlations that you could kind of relate, even think about what makes you happy, you know, and go that route and say, okay, maybe this is something I want to take because this I know brings me joy.
Yeah. It almost sounds like it's obvious sometimes, like the yellow is happy. Rose smells good.
Yeah, it is. And it's just, again, going back to what you need, what makes you happy. You know, roses might totally turn you off and you could be like, I hate them. Okay, so then don't use them to be happy. Yeah. But you know, it's like what makes you happy or what brings you, puts a smile on your face, and then kind of mimic that through using another, not modality, but you know, another way of helping with that.
So we won't be able to let you go without hearing your morning or night routine or both with how you incorporate all this in, because you've given us such great options, but how does it work into your life?
Every day is honestly very completely different for like the middle of the day. So in the morning, I love lion's mane tincture in the morning because it's great for your brain. It kind of helps turn your brain on, memory, brain health. So I always find that to be a really good morning tincture, whether I put it in my water or my tea or take it straight sometimes. We also take elderberry every day just to boost immunity. I'm around people all the time, as you most likely will be too if you're going back to school. So being in dorms or in classrooms or anything like that, you want to make sure your immune system's up, because then a lot of these other issues may not happen. When your immunity goes down, that's where you start seeing lack of sleep, depression, you know, just everything kind of gets run down. So those are definitely two that I enjoy in the morning. I'm a herbal tea drinker in the morning. Not right now, just because I run super hot. So hot tea just is like off the table, but I'm like a morning tea drinker. And then I'm an afternoon coffee drinker. So I don't go for the coffee. Yeah. I don't go for the coffee right away. I like the tea, like herbal tea in the morning, but then at night, I love, love, love my mugwort tincture to sleep. The day lily flower essence, which I just take, you know, 4 or 5 drops, maybe. I always spray hydrosol on my face throughout the day, even when I'm in the store. If I get warm or if I just need like a little pick me up, we have samples and I'm always just spraying my skin, you know. So, and then throughout the day, am I having a just day where I'm hanging at home and not doing much, you know, then maybe I'm not taking as much. Am I going into a super busy week and I already feel the stress and the anxiety? Yeah, I'll start taking, you know, either holy basil or
yeah, tell me that. I'm feeling that right now. What do I need to take?
I would take my like the holy basil or the lemon balm tincture just to help, like, and it's not even to like calm me down enough where I'm like, okay, I need to sit down and do nothing. It's kind of just helps clear your mind, kind of just helps you, okay, that wasn't so bad, let's move on to the next task, kind of thing. So those are like my everyday kind of, if I need them, take them. Yeah.
That's amazing. So like my favorites that I got from your shop and how I use them. So I got a sage mist, which I use for like grounding and clearing. I take in a lot of clients. I do a lot of chatting with people. I use that in my new place. Like that all feels good.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And even, I mean, that would be great to clear the space in a dorm room. You know, you don't know who was in there last semester, or if you've got friends coming and going, you don't want their energy sticking around. They come in having a bad day. You don't want that there. And like you said, you can't sometimes burn in a specific place. So we have a sage and mugwort spray that you could use, or we also have a grounding and protection spray that you could, you know, spritz the room, spritz yourself, just clear that, you know, get that energy moving.
I do myself.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to put up that, you know, barrier.
I would recommend like when you're moving in, opening the window too, when you're moving in. Not only do dorms tend to smell moldy and stale, but it's good to like let energy out and welcome new energy in.
Yes.
If that feels like a witchy practice that you want to take in, which I do.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've used, the lavender mist before I go to bed, I like spray it over my bed or onto my pillow. I don't know if that's how you're supposed to use it,
yeah.
But
yeah, no, yeah, definitely. And a lot of people use it as like a linen spray, or you could, that one you could even spray right on your face too, if you wanted to. It does just have lavender essential oil. So just watch your eyes with any essential oils, but yeah, or just mist, you know, sometimes I'll lay in bed and kind of just mist it around and put it back on the bedside and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Like you've just,
it lives on my bedside.
That's yeah.
And then what else did I, oh, the white pine. That I just use when I feel like I need it. I'm not doing that every day.
And sometimes you don't need to. We have literally hundreds of tinctures here that sometimes I won't reach for 3-4 months. But then sometimes I'm like, oh my goodness, that plant is calling me, or maybe I just saw it out on a walk and I'm like, you know what? I want some of that energy, that plant energy in me. So don't feel you need to use everything every day.
Okay, good. But I feel like I am using the mists every day,
yeah,
but those feel very, very normal. So I have one more question for you that came up while you were talking. What do you feel like is your witchiest plant? You keep talking about mugwort for dreaming and stuff, but I'm curious.
I would probably say mugwort is. So mugwort is an invasive herb or plant, weed, people call, you know, they want to eradicate it any way they can out of their gardens, away from their homes, whatever. And I'm like, give it all to me. It was actually my first plant that I ever really sat and studied with Robin, and white pine was my second one. So those two are definitely like my best friends. Mugwort is used for, so it's used a lot in clearing energy. It's used to burn You could, I take it as a tincture. Like I said, we made a hydrosol with it. So it's very versatile. We've done in our sleepy time salve, we use it as a oil. Like, so we infuse the oil with it. But yeah, I would say that's probably one of the witchier ones, just because, I don't know, you can make little smudge sticks out of it and burn them. And it's not something you would ever find like on the shelf in the tea section, just because it is this like very invasive weed that nobody likes except herbalists.
I can spot that one now. Like, everywhere.
It just grows everywhere. It will grow. And to really get rid of it is almost impossible because it just continually sets seed and it just, in this area, it grows everywhere.
I like that. I also had an idea as we were speaking too, that if you're listening to this and you're like, I love everything they're saying, but I have no idea where to start on any of this. I have two suggestions for you. Is one, go to Mayorna Kitchen and go in and ask for Shannon and she'll help you and guide you and lovingly listen and help you find the right stuff. But if you just have like a favorite flower or a favorite plant, you can just research that and just see what the properties are, what it's good for, why you're called to it. Does it represent anything? Is it a certain month? Like, don't, I think like a rose is a June, I don't know, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like birthstone, I guess. I'm a June baby, so.
Oh, very nice. I'm a winter solstice baby. Born on the 21st. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know what your moon is in?
I don't. I have my moon, like the whole chart.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
You have to text me later and tell me. I feel like it's like it has to be some earth. Like, where's the earth?
Right. Well, Capricorn is.
Yeah, earth. Capricorn is, it is earth, right?
Yeah. So I'm a lot of times, if you look at a horoscope, the 21st is either in Sagittarius or Capricorn.
Yeah.
So I'm right on that cusp. I definitely feel a little more fire than.
You'll have to tell me later.
Yes, I will.
When you look at it. But yeah, I think like researching what you're called to. So like, if you're like, oh, my favorite flower is a rose, like look up what that means and what it's used for and different things like that. And just start developing a relationship that way. You don't even have to buy anything yet. Like, I'm going to research white pine a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. I mean, one of my things I tell in any class I teach or anything is, I mean, you could get so overwhelmed if you were to search like plants for this or plants for that. I feel work with something you have growing near you. And you could live in the city and have all the cement in the world around you, but you could still find plant. Weeds grow everywhere. And a lot of weeds are very medicinal. So I always say, just start with one plant, really learn about that one plant, you know? So even if you're growing sage or rosemary or thyme on your balcony, you know, you have a little container garden, start learning about those plants that you have, because you could work with them. You could smell them. You could taste them. You can look at them and see the way they're growing and how much water they may need, whatever the case may be. But I think learning, like taking a deep dive on one herb is so beneficial, because then you kind of have that one in your back pocket. And then you could go on to the next one instead of saying, well, I'm going to learn these 50 herbs this week and then not remember a thing about them. So it's, and that's what I did with mugwort. That's what I did with white pine. Like, I took these deep dives with them and tried to learn as much as I can, where they grew, how they grew, what I could use them for, how I could prepare them, you know? And so then you feel connected. You see the white pine and say, okay, I know what I could do with this, or I know what it could help with. So if you do want to go down that route of learning about the herbs and not just taking them, you know, one at a time. And I'll never know them all. So it's not like, you know, you'll never know them all. So start small.
Totally. And go where you're called, you know, like, yeah. Where can everyone find you?
So on social media, we're at Mayornik Kitchen, MayerinikKitchen. KITCHEN. So there's a double K. And our website is just MayerinikKitchen.com. And our shop is located at 612 Newark Pompton Turnpike in Pompton Plains, New Jersey. And we are open Wednesday through Saturdays. And we are always there to answer questions, help with anything. You know, even if you want to come in and just check it out and leave and say, you know what, I'm going to do some more research. That's cool too.
You have a really beautiful Instagram page. So I highly want to recommend that everyone go check it out. Also, this is the question I had. Do you ship as well? Can people order online?
Yes, we ship nationwide.
Okay, cool. So you don't even have to be in this area. Although I would recommend that if you're in the North Jersey area to come and poke around the shop, you'll leave with what you need, maybe not what you went in for.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your beautiful energy and insight with us.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. And I hope this resonated with someone. Yeah.
I already know it well. And it did with me. So we've checked that off the box immediately. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And that's my episode with Shannon. I don't know if I've ever said this before, but I've definitely thought it in my head that I listened to Armchair Expert, that podcast with Dax Shepard and Monica Padman. And at the end of their episode, they have a fact check where they kind of chat about the episode that they just had. And I know when I listen to podcasts, I wish that they had that now. So I'm going to add that in for you guys. Not a fact check, just how I felt about the episode. Shannon was so kind and knowledgeable and just like a huge pleasure to interview. I had so many questions for her and she just had answers for all of them. I think my favorite parts were when she talked about how the different herbs work for the different ailments. And I wrote them all down in the mentor membership. So if you are a mentee in there, you'll be able to see that list. So you won't have to take the notes yourself. It's all laid out for you. But overall, I thought it was a really beautiful, informative episode. If you listen to this episode and have an herb or a plant that you feel called to research or to look up or to go ahead and visit Shannon and get, I would love to hear which one you feel called to. I, of course, talked about the white pine, but would love to hear what's calling your name. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. For more mentor tips, tricks, resources, all the things, you can go to my website, maggiedepasquale.com. It's also in the show notes. And as always, I'm rooting for you.